Heavenly Father, we are conscious of how much we need your help as we open your word. We pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things about your Son in this chapter of the Bible. And we pray that you would meet each one of us at our point of need and teach us and transform us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, John chapter 9 concerns blindness and sight. I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like to be blind. Perhaps close your eyes for a second and see what it's like. We can't see the building around us. You can't see the book in front of you. You can't see the faces of your friends. Now, depending on who your friends are, that might be a wonderful relief. But imagine if you've been blind for many years, how wonderful it would be if someone opened your eyes to open them again if they're still closed. Well, here in John chapter 9, Jesus tells us something very challenging. He tells us that by nature, we are spiritually blind. By nature, we cannot see the truth about God and salvation, even if it is staring us in the face. Now, by the way, this explains the way so far in John's Gospel people have responded to Jesus. We've heard these last four Sunday evenings of four amazing signs that Jesus has done. He's turned water to wine. He's healed the son of the royal official with just a word. He has raised up the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. He's made enough bread to feed 5,000 people. Now, each one of these signs is given to point to one thing. They are to show us that Jesus is the Christ, God's long-promised Savior King, so that when people see or hear about these signs, they will put their trust in him and receive eternal life. But in John's Gospel so far, how have the people who saw these signs and heard of them responded? Well, by the end of chapter 8, they have picked up stones to stone Jesus. And chapter 9 brings us face to face with the challenging reason for this. By nature, we are spiritually blind. But it also tells us a very wonderful truth. It tells us that Jesus is able to open our eyes and give us spiritual sight so that the light of God's truth comes streaming into our lives. Now, maybe this evening we feel that we're still in the dark. Maybe we know that Jesus has opened our eyes. We can understand what he's done for us. Well, this is a vital chapter for all of us. It helps us to understand what Jesus can or has done for us. And also it shows us how Jesus' work continues in our lives. Once he's opened our eyes to see who he is, well, he wants to keep on opening them wider and wider and wider as we go on through the Christian life. And we see here how he does it. And also in this chapter, he's going to warn us of a danger, a barrier that can stop him starting or continuing this work in our lives. Well, I've divided the chapter into three sections. The first is the picture of what Jesus can do. The second is the way Jesus opens eyes. And the third is the barrier to Jesus opening eyes. Well, let's start then with a picture of what Jesus can do and verses 1 to 7. And it starts with a discussion about suffering. So verse 1, as he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the disciples think that there's a direct one-to-one link between sin and suffering, as if those who suffer the most must have sinned the most. And Jesus will have none of it. See what he says in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. The blindness isn't a punishment for worse sinners. No, God intends to use it to show his power and goodness in the man's life. And by the way, he can do the same with our suffering. The work of God is displayed in our lives as he enables us to trust him through suffering and as he rescues us from suffering, perhaps in this life, certainly in the life to come. Well, let's see how the work of God was displayed in this man's life. Jesus continues in verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, we'll come back to those verses in a few minutes. But just imagine what happens next from the blind man's perspective. Perhaps he heard Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And then the man heard that dreadful spitting noise, you know, the sort of hawking, gobbing noise of someone spitting. And he felt strong hands holding his head, and he felt soggy mud being pressed into his eyes. And then he heard a voice saying, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, the pool of scent. And so, tap, 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 he feels his way up to the pool. Perhaps as he went, he thought back to his lessons from Saturday school when they're studying the book of Isaiah, and they'd been taught that when the Christ came, the one sent from God, he would open the eyes of the blind. Well, he bends down and he washes his face in the water, and he sees. For the first time in his life, he sees the light glinting on the water. He sees the children as they're splashing in the shallows. He sees the women washing their clothes. He sees the sky, the birds, and the trees above him. The end of verse 7 tells us he came home seeing. I should think he ran home seeing. Well, as we read of how Jesus treated this man, no wonder people trusted him with their lives. When the rest of us ignore a person, Jesus sees them. When the rest of us blame a person, Jesus cares for them. When the rest of us can't help, Jesus can help. No wonder people trusted him with their lives. He is the one, the only one, for us to trust. Now, John, the gospel writer, wants us to know that what Jesus did that day was a real miracle. It truly happened. But Jesus also presents it as a picture of what it means for him to be the light of the world, a picture of what he can do for us spiritually. So Jesus is saying that we are from birth spiritually what this man was physically. By nature, we are spiritually blind. No matter how hard we try, no matter how clear the evidence, we're not able to see the truth about God and salvation. We live in a world that has turned away from the light, and so by nature, we're spiritually blind. Now, the world does not like Jesus' diagnosis at all. The world tells us that it can see perfectly well. The world tells us that given enough information and enough time to think, mankind can work out everything it needs to know. But the truth is that on our own, we can't agree about God or about the meaning of life. On our own, we don't know how to deal with the selfishness in our own hearts, let alone in society. Well, Jesus says the reason for this is that by nature we are spiritually blind. In the same way, perhaps you're looking into Christianity and you find that you can't seem to understand Jesus. Well, he says there's a reason for that. By nature we're spiritually blind. It's very challenging. But the good news is that Jesus is able to do for us what he did for this man. He is able to solve the problem. He can open our eyes to see and to understand the truth about God. So, you know, if we trust Jesus today, it's not because we've been clever enough to work it out ourselves. No, it is because Jesus has worked this wonderful miracle in our lives and opened our eyes. Well, that's the picture of what Jesus can do. Let's move now to our second section. The way Jesus opens eyes, the way he does it. And we see this in verses 8 to 38. It's a long section. And in these verses, there are four interviews. So first of all, the man's neighbours interview him about what's happened. And then the Pharisees, who are the kind of leaders of the Jewish synagogue, they interview the man. And then thirdly, the Pharisees interview the man's parents. And then fourthly, they call the man back in for further interviews. Now, did you notice when this section was read that as we move through those four interviews, The man's understanding of who Jesus is grows and grows and grows. Let's chart his progress together. So first of all, the neighbours. Well, they're a bit surprised to see that he's got rid of the guide dog and the white stick. And so they ask him what has happened. Have a look at verse 10. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. It's his starting point, the man they called Jesus. Well, next he's quizzed by the Pharisees. Look at verse 17. Finally, the Pharisees turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. We'll now see what he says in verse 32 during his second interview with the Pharisees, verse 32 and following. No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this the Pharisees replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Did you see how the man's understanding of Jesus grows? From a man they call Jesus, to a prophet, to someone sent from God, and then finally he treats him as God himself, and he worships him. Well, what a contrast that is from the Pharisees. In this section, their blindness seems to go from bad to worse. So at the start, at the end of verse 16, for instance, they're divided about Jesus. But by the middle, at the end of verse 22, we discover that they've already decided that anyone who says Jesus is the Christ will be thrown out of the synagogue. And then by the end of verse 34, they throw the man out so that they don't have to look anymore at the evidence of Jesus' power. Now, these Pharisees were experts in the Bible. They had standing in front of them living proof of Jesus' power and his greatness, and yet somehow they couldn't see it. And so it is today. There's nothing wrong with the evidence for Jesus, but there is something wrong with our capacity to see it. By nature, we're spiritually blind. And before we can see, Jesus must work this miracle in us to give us sight. And how wonderful that of all the people in this chapter, it was the blind beggar who Jesus worked that miracle for. Now, the physical miracle of opening his eyes was good. But the spiritual miracle was far greater. When our eyes are opened spiritually, we're able to see who Jesus is and put our trust in him and receive eternal life. That is the miracle that Jesus can work for any of us and has worked for many of us. Well, I want us to notice four things from the verses so far about the way Jesus gives spiritual sight. So four quick things drawing from around these verses about this work of opening eyes. And the first is that it is urgent. If we look right back at verse 4, back over the page perhaps, at the end of verse 4, Jesus says, night is coming when no one can work. The time is coming when it will be too late for Jesus to open our eyes. Now, from time to time, all of us ask God to do what we want him to do for us. But will we ask him to do what he wants to do for us? To open our eyes, if he hasn't done so already. The time is coming when it will be too late. Jesus' work is urgent. Secondly, the eye-opening work of Jesus involves teamwork. It involves teamwork. This comes from earlier in verse 4, where Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. What a surprise, we must do the work. Jesus involves his disciples in his work of opening eyes. Now, of course, it is Jesus who works the great miracle. But our role is to speak to people about him, to bring them to talks, to pray that Jesus would give them sight. It's a teamwork. Well, I hope this is an encouragement to us as we seek to share Christ with others. We're working in a team with the master eye surgeon. In his own power and in his own time, Jesus is able to open eyes. He can do for our friends what we cannot do for them. So let's keep praying, keep speaking, and keep bringing. We're in a team with the master eye surgeon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, his work involves teamwork. Thirdly, Jesus' eye opening is often gradual. Seems to have been gradual with this man, doesn't it? It was over the course of 4 interviews that Jesus opened his eyes to see who he is. And you know, it's often gradual today. So if you're still thinking things through, well, hang on in there. Keep coming to hear Jesus' word. Keep thinking. He often opens our eyes gradually. And believers, don't forget that it took us time. It certainly took me time to understand who Jesus is. So be patient with your unbelieving friends. We don't want to tell people about Jesus once and then just leave it. No, we want to keep Jesus on their agenda. Keep on inviting people to church. Keep on bringing them to Christianity Explained. Keep on opening the Bible with them. Jesus often opens eyes gradually. Now, I asked a friend recently how Jesus opened his eyes. And he said it was while he was on a job sailing a yacht from South Africa to Florida. That's a nice job, isn't it? That's what this guy was doing. Now, this friend's mother was a Christian lady, and she understood that eye-opening is urgent and that it involves teamwork. And so she gave her son a copy of John's Gospel, and as he was sailing, she was praying. And my friend said that when they got to the middle of the Atlantic, well, he'd realized that Jesus was very important. By the time they got to Brazil, he realized that Jesus had great relevance for his life. By the time they got to the Caribbean, he thought Jesus was from God. By the time they got to Florida, he knew that Jesus was God, and he wanted to spend his life worshiping him. Well, Jesus often opens eyes gradually. And not only does he open our eyes gradually up to the point when we put our trust in him, as I mentioned earlier, he keeps on opening our eyes wider and wider as we continue to trust him. That's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 prays that the eyes of Christians' hearts would be enlightened. It's an exciting prospect, isn't it? As we keep following Jesus, he'll open our eyes wider and wider, and more of the light of life will come streaming in. Well, Jesus' work of opening eyes is often gradual, and fourthly, it brings trouble. Did you notice how it brought trouble for this man? As his eyes were opened and as he spoke about Jesus, well, the Pharisees threw him out. And we may find, too, that as Jesus opens our eyes and as we have the courage to speak about him, well, people will push us out of the inner group at school or university or at work. But did you notice what Jesus did in verse 35? When Jesus heard that they'd thrown the man out, well, he went and found him. The man found that as others threw him out, Jesus grew closer and his eyes were opened wider to who Jesus is. And so today we find that the times when people push us out are actually deeply precious times when we know Jesus close and when our eyes are opened more to understand who he is. Well, we've seen four quick things about the way Jesus opens eyes. It's urgent, so ask him to do it today. It involves teamwork. We're working with the master eye surgeon when we share Christ with our friends. It's often gradual, so hang on in there. And it brings trouble, so be prepared for that. Well, let's turn now to our third main section, which I'm calling the barrier to Jesus opening eyes, verses 39 to 41. Now, why did Jesus open the eyes of the beggar, but not the Pharisees? Why does Jesus open the eyes of some people today, but not everyone who hears of him? What is the barrier that prevents this eye-opening work? Well, let's have a look at verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Well, we're going to need to think a little bit about those verses and work out what Jesus is saying here. In verse 39, he is saying that his coming into the world separates people into two groups. On one hand, there are those who recognize that they are blind without Jesus. To this group who admit that, he gives sight. But on the other hand, there are those who think they can see perfectly well on their own. And this group get blinder and blinder. Well, as Jesus says this, the Pharisees say, "What? Are we blind too?" They think that the suggestion that they are blind is ridiculous. And so Jesus challenges them. He says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin." What he means is, if they knew they were blind, well, they would have come to Jesus for sight. He would have opened their eyes. They wouldn't be guilty of rejecting him. In fact, they would have received forgiveness. They wouldn't be guilty of any sin at all. But as it is, Jesus says, they claim that they can see, and so their blindness and their guilt remains. I wonder if that makes sense. Those who recognize we're blind without Jesus, well, he gives sight. Those who claim they can see perfectly well on their own, well, their blindness goes from bad to worse. Well, that means that the barrier to Jesus opening eyes is pride. And you know, it's the same as we go on in the Christian life. If I stay humble and I keep asking Jesus to open my eyes, well, he opens them wider and wider. But if I become proud and act as if I can work out the truth on my own, well, my eyes start to grow dim. When I studied engineering at university, I found that pride was a barrier there as well. In the first term, we had a class on how to invent things, how to invent gadgets and machines and devices. And the class was taught by an old man in scruffy clothes. Now, aged 18, I thought I was an expert on inventing things, and I certainly didn't need to be taught by this old buffer. And so I paid no attention. Well, I later discovered, some months later, that this man was in fact a genius and a brilliant teacher. He had invented large parts of the Concorde supersonic airliner. Now, those students in the class who had recognized their need to learn and listen to him had their eyes opened to this wonderful world of inventing. I, who thought I knew it all, left, if anything, knowing less about inventing than I did when I went in. Now, the great tragedy is that we tend to treat Jesus in the same way I treated that old professor. Some of us do it all of our lives. All of us do it all too often. We think that we can understand God perfectly well on our own without him. Well, if we do that, our eyes will grow dim. But if we recognize we're blind without Jesus, then he opens our eyes wider and wider. So the barrier to Jesus' eye-opening work, well, it's not lack of intelligence. It's not lack of experience. It's lack of humility. I wonder, as we came to church this evening, did we think that we'd be able to understand God's word without Jesus' help? Or did we pray, "Lord, without you I'm blind. Please open my eyes and teach me." Well, if that's our attitude, he'll be opening our eyes. It's the same every day. If we think that we can see fine without Jesus, well, then when things get busy, our Bible reading will get squeezed out. I can live through life in God's world perfectly well on my own, we think. And our eyes grow dim. But if we recognize that we're blind without Christ, well, we'll make sitting at Jesus' feet in his word our top priority, knowing that we need him to give us sight, and he'll open our eyes wider and wider. Or what if some area of Christian truth or Christian living is challenging to us? Do we think I can see what's what perfectly okay on my own and ignore the challenge? Or do we recognize that without Jesus we're blind and ask him to open our eyes and teach us in that area? Well, what have we seen in John chapter 9 this evening? We've seen that by nature we're spiritually blind, but that Jesus has power to open eyes so that we can see the truth about him and about salvation. Now, if he has done that for us, how much we have to thank him for this wonderful miracle in our lives. I'm struck that this is a congregation in some ways, in many ways, with great potential. There are many things that we could take to the world. We could take education, medical help, finances. But you know, more than anything, the world needs the message of Jesus. The world is spiritually blind. More than anything, what they need from us is the message of the one who can open their eyes. Only Christ can do that. And as we think of ourselves, what is it that will prevent Jesus' work starting in our lives or continuing? Well, it's that barrier of pride. Will we be those who say, "I can see fine without you, Jesus"? If so, our eyes will grow dimmer and dimmer. Or will we say to him, "Lord, I can't see without you"? If so, he will open our eyes wider and wider and wider to the light of his truth. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for encouraging us in your word and also for challenging us. Lord, we want to be those who say to you, "We cannot see without you." Please open our eyes. We thank you for that miracle that you've worked. And we pray that you would open them wider and wider as we trust you this week. Amen.